Good evening. We'll start the meeting tonight with the opening prayer led by Pastor Paul Brunel, Christ Episcopal Pastor.
And let us pray. We lift up to you our local leaders. We pray for our mayor, members of the council, county commissioners, police, judges, and all those who serve our community. We ask that they be given the wisdom to act in charity and justice so that they may serve for the common good, the people of this community. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I will lead the Pledge of Allegiance tonight. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This brings us to the roll call. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Teich.
Here.
Pro Tem Haber.
Here.
Councilmember Fear. Here. Luddington.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Osmer.
Here.
Owens.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us to the approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of February the 17th, 2026.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of February the 17th, 2026 are approved. This brings us to proclamations and special presentations, in which we have one tonight. Assistant City Manager, would you like to join me up at the podium? I thought you were going to get out of that.
Well, she doesn't have a suit.
She doesn't have a suit.
Next item.
It's the first item. There's more detail. On consent.
You're reading it, right?
You didn't know you were reading it? That's the right.
It wasn't anything. It was just an option.
We all know why we have the assistant city manager up here with me. You know, she is the one that you say you are the planter.
The tree planting lady.
The tree planting lady. So she plants things to make things grow. So it's a positive. So, a proclamation of the Mayor's Office of the City of Owosso, Michigan, designating April the 24th, 2026, as Arbor Day in the City of Owosso. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees. This holiday, called Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than 1 million trees in Nebraska. And whereas decades before this, in the 1830s, Owosso was making the transition from settlement to city, thanks to the amazing vision of Alfred and Benjamin Williams. The Williams brothers joined with early settlers, Dr. and Mrs. John Barnes, in designing a city layout that would preserve a natural character and aesthetic appeal. This led them to plant many of the trees that have made our city streets so beautiful for close to 200 years, leading to the lovely arbors of trees that frame so many of our boulevards and the many mature trees that stand in our yards. And whereas these trees have reduced the erosion of the precious topsoil by wind and water, cut our heating and cooling costs by shading our homes, cleansed the air, produced life-giving oxygen, and provided habitat for wildlife, at the same time increasing property values, enhancing the economical vitality of business areas, and generally adding beauty to our neighborhoods and parks. And whereas it falls to each generation to continue the stewardship that was launched by our founding families through the planting of new trees throughout our city to replace those that are lost. And whereas Owosso is proud to hold the Tree City USA designation to be engaged once again with the citizens of Owosso to plant new trees throughout the city. Now, therefore, I, Robert J. Teich, Jr., Mayor of the City of Owosso, do hereby proclaim April 26, 2026, as Arbor Day in the City of Owosso, and I urge all citizens to celebrate Arbor Day and to support efforts to protect our trees and woodlands. And further, I urge our citizens to plant trees to promote the well-being of this generation and our posterity. Proclaim the second day of March 2026. So I'm going to give this to you. I don't know if you want to put one in your office or you want me to.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I'll keep the one I have in my office so we can spread the word.
Okay.
And I want to personally thank you for all your efforts.
You're welcome.
And we have something on the agenda with the new tree list and so forth, and so that's kind of exciting as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of them all Michigan species type trees that we have on that list. So anyway, the other reason I wanted the assistant city manager up with me today is she has something to announce.
I do.
You do. Would you like to announce
it? Yeah,
thank you. Okay, you bet.
So Arbor Day this year will be a little extra special because we are going to roll out our initiative to plant 250 trees for the 250th birthday of the United States. Our goal will be to plant 125 trees in right-of-way parks and other city-owned properties. And then thanks to a grant from the Cook Family Foundation, we have purchased 125 trees that we will give out to members of the public for planting on private property. Those should be ready the week of Arbor Day, and we'll have an event where people can come and pick those up and plant them and celebrate Arbor Day with us. So the plan is to do 75 this spring in city parks, and then the other 75 of the city planted trees we'll do in the fall. So we will wrap up our 250th tree October of 2026. Thank you.
Assistant City Manager, that we talked about was tree equity.
Yeah.
So we are going to be looking at tree equity, okay, with our disbursement in a way. Mm-hmm. So I just want to put that out as well. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
How quiet it gets when you don't use the mic.
This brings us to public hearings, which we have none. This brings us to our first citizen comments, which each person wishing to address the city council shall be afforded one opportunity up to 4 minutes duration during the first occasion and up to 3 minutes during the last occasion. When recognized, give your name and address. Come to the podium and direct your comments to the mayor. Is there anyone that would like to address the council at this time? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the city council for comments. If there's anyone that would like to speak, yes.
So I have two. I do have one of my penny project talks, but I'm going to do it at the second meeting. But for this first one, we had some discussion at the goal setting workshop that we just did about the idea of maybe adding a discussion category to our agendas to be used at the discretion of the city staff when something could benefit from us having conversation without the imminent call for a vote, so that we can kind of maybe potentially gain better understanding of all the different ramifications, benefits, etc., before we would have to actually vote on something. So city manager informed me that we would need to make it an agenda item to amend our policy or our, what was it again, Nathan?
We'd have rules to, of procedure.
The rules of procedures to be able to add a discussion category to our agenda format that we could then use at times. So I guess he said I need to kind of formalize the request. So tonight I'm going to request that we place an item on the next agenda to discuss adding a discretionary discussion section for council meetings, for future council meetings, which would allow fuller conversation on complex topics before we have to take formal action. So this is me just asking for support to just get it on the agenda so that way we can actually talk about whether this would be beneficial to us. Obviously, I know that there's pros and cons to adding a discussion thing. This is really just to get it forward to a discussion.
I guess my question is,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Councilwoman, was that a motion?
I was trying to make a motion.
Okay. All right. But never mind. If you want to have a discussion about it first, that's fine. But in order to change the rules of procedure, as I explained last week, there's got to be a clear direction to put it on the next agenda.
Right. So I thought that's what I was doing. I was trying to make a motion
to put it on the next agenda for discussion
at the next meeting.
Okay.
Which I will support that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Discussion.
Just the discussion.
No, discussion.
Right now.
Of the motion. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't know what it was.
Okay. Discussion.
I overheard their conversation. I was not a part of it, and was looking through another community's agenda, and they actually have a discussion section on it, so I forwarded it to Emily right away, because it was perfect, it says discussion items, and there's in parentheses it says there's not, do you have it with you? Do you remember what it said? No decision expected.
Right,
something
exactly.
Like that.
It was really clear. It was a perfect example of, let me see, Nathan. I sent it on to Nathan right away. So it says discussion items. So it was like liaison reports, public comment, whatever, discussion items. And then in parentheses it says final action not anticipated at this meeting. So it was like clearly directive that this isn't for discussion rather than decision. Which I feel like, go ahead, sorry, that,
yeah.
That's your...
No, so that was, so other people are doing it, so it's not a new idea or anything, so.
I'd be
that's
supportive
all.
Of it as long as we're doing it
efficiently.
With Robert's rules.
Yes.
Yeah. Further discussion? My, I just don't understand why it's needed. Mm. I need to, because right now, the way I look at what we're doing, this is a business meeting. We have items of business. We have the consent agenda. Every one of those have been vetted, every one of them, by either the city manager or by one of his directors or managers. We have 4 days, basically, to study these items of business. We have 4 days to study the agenda. We have, when we come here, we can always move a consent agenda to an item of business if we wanted to discuss it. We can always, under comments and so forth, when a business item does come up, I always bring up, do you have any comments? Okay, sometimes we have a discussion, and sometimes we don't, but it's always discussed. I don't see the purpose, if this is a business meeting, we've already know what our items of business are. We've had 4 days to study them. We've had 4 days to study our consent agenda. And we had the opportunity to discuss them or move a consent agenda to a business item. I don't want to bog down the system on a discussion, and I'm thinking a discussion of what?
So can I comment?
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually for the items that are meant to be decided that night. This isn't like a redundant spot that's etched out for that purpose. It's for upcoming things that might be coming down the pike that are not on the agenda that night, but
okay.
Would benefit from some discussion. And the only reason why I think it's actually uniquely valuable for us is because we don't participate in work sessions. We don't, as the seven of us, get together in a room and actually think through out loud for the public's benefit and for our own personal benefit, how we're arriving at decisions. We don't act it out in any way.
We
don't do work stuff.
We tried this from 7 to 7:30 and made the meetings a half an hour longer, somewhat based on the same thought process. And it didn't work. We were here just kind of, I was talking to Jerry, I was talking to whoever, and we really didn't have anything really to discuss. And finally, we dropped it and we went back to 7:30.
Right.
Okay. I don't see the benefit to it. I think our structure, the way we have it, is well oiled. It works. It opens it up. You can bring it to your comments on any business item that you see that's coming up. So I don't see a benefit to it, frankly. So.
Well, hopefully we can get it on the agenda so we can have a more elaborate discussion.
Right,
well. That's exactly the point,
the
is
table.
That I think that there is like this shotgun that we're under when we have a discussion, that it has to immediately move to a vote of some sort, which creates a high-pressure situation where people are positioning rather than actually practicing dialogue.
I haven't felt that.
I appreciate that.
I have not felt that.
But can you? I'm just saying this is what I've experienced on this council. I don't think it's, and I mean, I'd love to talk about it in more detail. I obviously was just prepared to make the motion to see if we could put it on the agenda so that way we could have a discussion about it. The pros, the cons, I'm sure some people are concerned about time management. I'm sure there are lots of valid things to weigh. I just wanted to, tonight, see if we could set aside some space at the next meeting so that way we could discuss it and hear all those ideas.
For the discussion? Yes.
I have a couple questions. First of all, you said it was by staff discretion what to put on a hypothetical discussion item section in the agenda. How are staff to know what to bring to City Council for discussion? My second question is, how is this different than using Robert's rules as they exist now to control the pace of the meeting or debate on a particular issue? And the reason I ask is because you and I had talked about it after the strategy session, and I had encouraged you, use those rules to your advantage to say, I think more research needs to be done by individual council members, or additional time for discussion needs to happen. So making motions to table based on Robert's Rules of Order until 2 weeks to the next meeting or a particular meeting you have in mind if you need more time than that. Why not use that as an avenue to spur more discussion and research? Also, the rules as they're written now, it doesn't require a majority vote to put it on the next council meeting for consideration, but when you approve any rules changes, it has to be 2/3, so at least 5 of you have to vote for it.
But that wouldn't have been done until next week anyway.
Correct.
Or next week anyway.
Correct. Yeah. But anyway, those are my two questions.
Okay. I will definitely spend some time thinking about those and figuring out, I guess, how I could address those, both of those questions. It sounds like at the next meeting. It sounds like we don't have to have a majority to get it onto the agenda. That's what you just said?
And majority vote tonight can put it on the agenda for next meeting. But
so
the pertinent question here is that first one. If it's up to staff, how are we supposed to know what to put on in a discussion item? Think about that.
Yeah, thank you. I will.
And then the second one is more personal for each one of you. Why not just use the existing Robert's Rules of Order to control the pace or discussion on a particular item as they exist now? You know, you don't need to change rules for that. But that's a long way of saying getting support from the appropriate amount of your colleagues is important for either one of these things. There's an avenue that exists now to do that. So I'd like to know at the next meeting, if you do want to discuss this, why you just wouldn't do that.
Can I ask a follow-up then, since I have you here, for that second one? If it's an available option through Robert's Rules, why do we not do it now? Like, as a council, why do we not discuss in general, like from each of our perspectives? Because I just figured if there was a way for staff to look at a complicated issue and understand that we are elected by the entire city, the 7 of us, for a reason, whether people trust us or whether, you know, they know us or whether we've been here for forever or we have a fresh idea, whatever the reason is, we've all got somebody to put the little check mark, you know, like filled in the bubble next to our names. So I'm genuinely curious to know what Chris's take is on something like the water portal without it being contentious. Like, I want to know what you know from the people that you know and from what you've garnered. And I want to know, Carl, what's going on with the people that you know? And, like, what is it that, what's the dark corners of a topic that I can't see? And I guess I just don't feel like we do that at all. And I know that we can only, only three people can actually talk about something outside of council. We don't do work studies. When we do have a discussion, it's literally at the end of the barrel of a vote. It's coming next. Or we have to get a motion to get somebody to agree with us that we can pull it aside. And, you know, if we could veto the vote that night individually, okay, cool. Like, I guess that's very, like, then you have the control over whether it comes to a vote or not. But otherwise, it is implied that the vote's happening, the discussion is performative at best, but really it's for positioning. It's not for discussion. It's not for learning and exploring. So I just, if we're doing it, if we have the capacity to do it, Nathan, how do we use the tool to evoke that process, that procedure from to let it actually bubble up and take form? I don't see it happening, so I don't know how to use Robert's rules to conjure that environment.
It's simply saying, as an individual council member, I don't feel comfortable voting on this tonight. I think we need more time. I motion to table until such and such a time. And if you don't have the support for that, then that's up to the rest of your colleagues. To have one member, the rules aren't there for one member to manipulate the majority of the rest of them. I know that's a right. That's a touchy word, but I can't think of another one. That's why I stress, in order to do these things, you need support from
right.
others on the council. So in that 4 days, up to then, you can call individual members, be like, hey, I got concerns here. If I motion the table, what do you think?
Sometimes
you
4 days
you can just
enough.
Broach the subject here during the discussion on that particular item and be like, hey, you know, I don't feel comfortable voting on this tonight. What do you guys think about tabling this? You know, I'd like to make a motion to table, get some more research, and then you go about the process of you know, having that motion seconded and voted on, and it takes a majority to push it off. So that exists right now.
Yeah.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely more personal for each individual member on whether or not they want to use that method. But it's there. It exists. That's why I asked.
I know we've done it basically, I think we did it for put off the when we were doing the zoning. Do we recall that?
Could be. I can't recall.
Yeah, put it off, and we had to put it off for a couple more weeks because we wanted to study it more, and what I got from that is it really didn't. From the other, most of the other council people, the 2 weeks didn't do much of anything to move the needle on how everybody felt already and knew and if they already did their self-study for the zoning when it came to that. It's there. I just have to say that we are all different. Me personally, I have not felt that I have not had enough time to study something where I felt uncomfortable voting either way since I've been on council. My 4 days has been plenty for me to do my, if I want to call someone, I'll call someone. If I want to talk to Nathan, Amy, Ryan, Tanya, on and on and on, Dave, Tom, I'll talk to him.
All right, but in all my time, I've received zero phone calls from another council member to ask me what I think about something, how I'm feeling about it, what are...
I didn't need to because I did my self-study and I got my feelings on it. I wasn't getting everybody else's feelings. And I wasn't trying to move the needle with other council people to go my way. I was just doing it for my own vote.
I don't think she was trying to say that she was trying to get the needle moved. I think she was trying to just get a grasp of how the rest of us feel. And if she can't get that grasp until the meeting, then we might be able to sway her vote just by telling her
exactly
how we feel. We might not.
I always thought we could do that right here.
Uh-huh.
I always thought we could do that right here.
In an hour?
Yeah.
Well,
if you can give me some examples of where you might have felt uncomfortable about something because you didn't have 4 days or more than an hour to discuss it here.
I have never been happy with only having 4 days to look things over and do my research.
Really?
With everything that I've got going on, yes, 4 days is a tight schedule.
Yeah. Well, it's 2 business days. It's only 2 business days to actually get a hold of anybody.
Friday and Monday.
Questions.
Yep. Well, that's an individual thing, Chris. I understand that.
I probably would agree with you more, except you said the one phrase that I absolutely hate. We tried it. It didn't work. We're not doing it. That's just because you tried something that doesn't work doesn't mean you can't change it. You can't try it again. It might work now. It might not. But to just say we tried it 20 years ago, it didn't work, I'm not saying you did it 20 years ago, but I hear that in the lodge all the time. We did that, it didn't work.
If I thought there was, or councilman, if I thought there was a benefit to it, I'm not the way that you're saying. If I thought there was a benefit to it, I'd be 100% for it. I don't see it. You do, because you need more than 4 days.
You don't see a benefit for it, but all she was asking, and I supported her, was to get it on the agenda so we could discuss it. You don't see a benefit for it, then vote against it when it gets brought up.
I understand that.
No, all she wanted to do was discuss it. I mean, we're discussing it now, and that's fine, but the motion was already made and supported.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Does it need to be voted on to be put on the agenda? Yeah.
Yeah, motion was made and seconded. We'll wait for a vote.
Yeah. Yep. Any further discussion? I think this would be a roll call vote. Is that correct, Madam Clerk? Okay.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. It is approved. Further council comments?
Thank you, Amy, I guess, for all your hard work on the trees. I actually pulled this aside, and I'm going to put it on my fridge because now I know all the trees that I want to scope out. I've personally put, I think my last count was 21 trees on my property since we moved into that house. So, and Amy has graciously listened to all of my please, please, please don't take down the tree things. So I really appreciate it. I didn't know there were so many conifers that I could put. That was a real exciting thing. So I would recommend everybody grab this out of the packet and reference it. But thank you very much. I really appreciate all your hard work. I actually live in a house that Dr. Barnes built for his daughter. And so I learned immediately upon my first summer here when I did research at the Historical Society that he would often trade people partial payment for medical services in promise that they would plant mature trees. So a lot of the trees here are also from an exchange trade program that he did with residents. So I thought that was wonderful. Yeah.
Further comments? Seeing none, we will go to the consent agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Support.
I have motion to support. Your roll call vote, Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The consent agenda is approved. This brings us to items of business, which we have none tonight. This brings us to our second citizen comments, which you will be allowed 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council tonight? Seeing none, this would bring us back to council comments.
Already back. I do have a penny project that I'd like to talk about. I can go last, though, if anybody else
anybody
wants
else
to make an announcement.
Before?
I defer.
It's all yours.
The time comes back to me. Okay. So when, again, at the goal setting, casually I mentioned that if I had a discretionary budget of my own, we would have life-size nutcrackers all over town. And that turned into a joke. And then I asked Tom Wheeler, who was here, I said, oh, that's what happened to those nutcrackers? They didn't actually get back out on the bridge this past season. And he said, no, they're in storage, and they just didn't, he doesn't know why, but they didn't come out of storage. And so it kind of got me thinking about this topic. So I'll just read from my page like I usually do, if you don't mind. A recent conversation about unused community-funded assets got me thinking about something bigger, about how we steward volunteer contributions long-term. Not me complaining, it's just raising what might be a systematic red flag. If we rely on community buy-in, and I believe that we should, then we owe residents a continuity framework so that their contributions don't disappear with staff transitions or seasonal shifts. It occurs to me that small towns like ours, progress will tend to happen in one of two ways. One path is transactional. We allocate funds, we contract the work, it gets implemented, it's clean, efficient, and very straightforward. The other path, though, is relational. Residents will donate their time, their talent, money, materials, and creativity. They show up, they build, they paint, they make nutcrackers, they fundraise, they volunteer. And Owosso has historically leaned very heavily on that second path. And I think it's actually one of our greatest strengths because it builds pride, it helps build identity, and it helps build ownership amongst our residents. But volunteer energy is not an infinite resource, and civic trust is often very fragile. Most of us know this intuitively, that one experience where effort feels wasted can outweigh 10 positive ones. Though when people quietly decide, I'm definitely not doing that again, we may never know when or where we've lost them. So the question that I'm asking tonight isn't about any one decision, it's actually bigger. Do we, as a city, have systems that make civic effort compound instead of evaporate? Because compounding is the difference between communities that steadily become more beautiful, more organized, and more confident, and those that feel like they have to keep starting at zero. Not reinventing the idea, obviously. Michigan, you guys know I love to pull in Michigan examples. So in Traverse City, we learned during the last MML convention up there from their Downtown Development Authority that they've engaged in long-range planning. They call it the moving downtown forward, and they're looking 10 to 20 years out, not just at the projects, but at the organizational structure and funding sustainability with their commitment to continuity. In Holland, they actually operate what's called the Holland Ambassador Academy, which is a civic pipeline program that helps residents understand how the city works and prepares them for long-term participation, not volunteerism, but stewardship development. Different communities, of course, different tools, but their shared theme is this. They treat community progress like an investment portfolio, not a one-time purchase. And I think that that principle applies to us as well. If Owosso is going to continue relying on community buy-in, and again, I think that we should, then we need citywide continuity practices that outlast any one volunteer group, any one staff transition, or any one season. Not bureaucracy, just durable habits. Habits like asset mapping and inventories, so that way we know what has been donated, fundraised, or built, where it lives and how it's maintained, and when it's going to be deployed. A simple leadership handoff playbook, and I know Lizzie's working on that with the DDA, but for what's in storage, what's on the calendar, what requires upkeep, and what commitments were made. A lightweight stewardship standard for volunteer contributions, which is like, how do we receive them? How do we document them? And how are we caring for them and ensuring that they remain visible? Over time, of course, we can find a coordinated way to align beautification and civic energy across the downtown, our neighborhoods, the corridors, parks, and river groups, so that way all of those individual efforts, again, compound instead of living in isolation. I think the real value of community effort isn't actually in the first year. That's always the flash, and it's fun. But the real value comes when it becomes part of the fabric, when people anticipate it coming back out again, when people look forward to a seasonal changeover, things like that. So I think that progress, in the end, should compound. And if we can institutionalize the mindset, then 5 years from now, we won't be asking where things went or why they didn't come back or why did we not do that festival again or what happened to things. And I think how our small town can become more of a strong town. That's it. Compounding effort. Volunteerism. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
So I just wanted to respond to that a little bit. I didn't know exactly. But I was just speaking with the United Way about volunteering last week and the impact of having good volunteers and maintaining good volunteers are. And this is unfortunately a pervasive problem in our nonprofits as well, of valuing volunteers as more than just a workforce. And so really helping them feel empowered to be good volunteers. So I will say I see universal opportunities for improvement across, like, the city can improve on how we engage with volunteers. So can, I'm not going to put any nonprofits on blast. Other nonprofits.
Good idea.
But I do think it's a pretty common problem to not really harness volunteer efforts to be more of what they could be. Because in reality, it could be more than just manual labor.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And I will say I did miss your nutcrackers.
I know.
But that wasn't really the whole point. But when my coworker, Yvette, also asked me where they were. And I said, I have not a clue. But I missed them. They were whimsical.
It's fun. I think it's fun from a volunteer perspective to put your time and energy. Like, I fundraised all the projects that I've worked on. I've dialed for dollars. I sewed the buntings for the city hall. Or I did the visit. Like, those nutcrackers existed, FYI, in my living room, scaring the crap out of all of my children when they would come down in the middle of the night and they'd be like, see all these, like, figures. Tall, looming figures in the dark. They were terrified for a minute there until the lights went on. So I think that it's fun to feel like you have a contribution to make. It's less fun to feel like you asked all your friends to pony up money for this beautification and then for it to just be kind of forgotten. It's not even replaced with something else, because that's even cooler, like if new ideas come forward. But when things just don't get used, then it feels like unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Use our assets.
So my comment is that since I am on the DDA Main Street Board, I want to promote our chocolate walk, which was a big success last year, and it's growing, and we had over 300 last year, and we're going to do more this year. We have limited tickets, so the reason why you have limited tickets, if we have 350, that means everybody that is going to be businesses that are going to be on the walk have to have enough chocolates for all those 350 people. So it's an investment, but it's been growing. I was there at the sign up area. A lot of fun. 300 and some people coming through the line, getting their information, their packet or whatever. So this year is going to be bigger. We've already sold quite a few of our 300 and some tickets already. So keep that in mind, chocolate walk. Another thing, we heard about volunteer. We had a volunteer appreciation party on the 19th of February at Sidelines. Well attended. That's growing as well. So we do hold an appreciation day, a party for our volunteers, and that's growing. So I commend Lizzie. When it comes to how she's growing it, it's like we were talking about with the pastors, one step at a time. It's a tortoise process, but the tortoise wins. So it can't happen overnight, but you just keep on taking that step. It gets stronger and stronger. So I wanted to bring that up as well. Other than that, I know that she's going to be having another. When it comes to our planters downtown and adopting a planter, there's going to be another event that we're going to have. I don't have my book with me, but I'll hopefully you know about the date. Does anybody know about the date when it comes to the design group, when it comes to the planters? I think it's
Wednesday, March 11th at 6 p.m.
There you go. Thank you.
I messaged it to someone.
Thank you. So if you're interested in adopting a planter, these are self-watering planters. We started last year. They're going over well. We don't have to spend hundreds of dollars of watering every month. So that's been, a good move on the design committee part to come up with that.
Mayor, can I ask a question?
You may.
About the chocolate walk?
You may.
Do you know, because I'm not on the DDA, are they planning on using proceeds like similar to what they did this year?
Yes.
Like that same concept of give us ideas and then voting on them? Is that
yes,
the
that's
general
out
idea?
There. Okay. That's out there. Yes.
Just curious.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
I appreciated that. I thought it was interesting.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you.
You bet. Further comments? Okay. Not seeing any. Well, that brings us to our city manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. During February, staff completed the quality-based selection interviews for the city's general engineering firm roster. This typically happens every 3 to 5 years, and it's usually handled by the city engineer, but since he is no longer here and we haven't filled that position, a team of staff went around and visited 7 engineering firms in their headquarters around the state to meet directly with not only the principals but their technical staff, and then to review their qualifications and fee schedules, and to tour the facilities. This process, like I said, it's conducted every 3 to 5 years, and it's particularly important just because without Clayton or a licensed civil engineer here on staff full-time, we're going to have to rely a little bit more heavily on these outside professional services for our capital projects. The City Hall mechanical update is almost done. We're having some issues with the generator. Long story short, there's a control board that wasn't functioning correctly, so they had to swap that out. And they tried to swap it out with the wrong one, so the test of that has been postponed, I think, 3 times now, and we're going to try again this Thursday to after hours to see if the automatic transfer switch works this time with that new control board. So we're almost there. Just some minor punch list items to get through, and then the restorative efforts will happen after the ground thaws in the spring. So we'll beautify the outside a bit. We lost some bushes, had a new fence, so we're going to figure something out there to not only plant grass, but maybe put some bushes in as well. The public safety building project, it remains in the planning phase, but we did get through our 60% design meeting with the engineers, our owner's rep, and the USDA. The USDA concerningly has raised some issues with ADA compliance. The city's team is evaluating those requirements, but it comes down to whether or not the primary function of the building requires the same level of ADA compliance as if the entire building is accessed by the public. We have argued that it is not, so the primary function would require a little bit less ADA compliance because of the non-public nature of access to the building. They're going to take that back and look at it, but I'm a little concerned because in that meeting, towards the end, it got a little transactional. The USDA rep said, hey, if you do this, we might look the other way on a couple other things. And that is, to me, that's pretty shocking from a federal agency to tell us that, but we're going to do our best to make sure that we can actually do this project, but I hope by the next meeting they kind of backtrack from that approach, because it is concerning to us. It's the first time we've seen something like that. The Shiawassee District Library's purchase of the former YWCA building is advancing following the Planning Commission's approval of their special use permit last week. I did have a talk with the city attorney briefly late last week about his efforts to contact members of the Woodard family, sort of more on an informal side of things, but I think the formal way to do this, we're going to have to go through it anyway, is to exercise quiet title, which is a legal process through the courts. So I told Scott, my opinion was that concurrently with the informal, him just trying to contact the family, we start the formal process as well.
to a quiet title. And if the family or anybody who thinks they have, I don't know what the word is, Scott, but thinks they have interest in the property and its legal interest, that they can make their claims throughout the legal process with the courts. But we're starting that, and the mayor has worked to assemble a subcommittee of stakeholders to make a recommendation to council, should that committee start here pretty soon, to make a recommendation to council on what the future use of the property is. Finally, I attended the press event announcing the demolition of the Robbins storage building. This is the one behind the gym. At the time, they were already starting the demolition, but it was important to get together with the county and the land bank to recognize that particular project as it was grant-funded. And the reason I bring that up, Mr. Mayor, you were there, but we had a discussion with Brent Jones with the land bank / SEP, and he explained that it's the same contractor for 117 West Exchange as it is for Robbins. So once they're done for Robbins, they're going to trundle on down the road and start on our other cleanup project that is grant-funded. And the numbers for that grant have fluctuated, but we now know to a near certainty that the city of Owosso will have to contribute some to close the gap between what the low bid amount was and what the grant amount was. That's about $178,000. We think we're going to need about $40,000 to complete that. So keep an eye out for that. Emily Dorr with the State Land Bank has said that council will have to have a specific vote on that gap financing for the project. But we just didn't get lucky there that the grant would cover the entire low bid amount. But anyway.
Can I ask a question? Or do you want to continue on?
Yeah, let me finish first. Just a couple more things. After Tanya Buckaloo reported on the MISHTA grants, the housing grants, at your last meeting, we did receive word that we would be receiving another $1.2 million for renovation of interior and exterior owner-occupied homes. So this is in addition to what she reported on the last meeting. It's a very fluid process with all this money that MISHTA is doling out for housing. So that brings our grand total for physical work done to improve housing in Owosso to $4.2 million. There's another $687,000 throughout that grant that counts as administrative. So we're going to see about taking advantage of as much of that as we can. So the grand total is about $4.9 million. That's a really big deal because we've only been at this since 2023. So this project, the latest grant, would take us through 2029 for home improvements. I just had one more thing. Oh, Councilman Owens and the mayor, this is for you because I know you were interested in this and participated in the past, but we finally heard back from the drain commissioner's contracted engineering firm, PEA Group, that they are ready to meet with us this month to talk about the M21 drainage survey. So I'm going to reach out to you two with that if you'd like to attend that meeting with the drain commissioner. And this is just to get an update on what their hydrological study showed and where the hangups are. But it's still looking like their recommendation is going to be upsizing that 10-inch storm sewer under M21. So some of it will be paid by MDOT. We're going to find out more at the meeting. Some of it will be paid by the city and the drain commissioner. We just need to know if we're going to be going through a Section 20, Chapter 20, drain commission petition. So this is the drain commission's only Chapter 20 drain in the entire county, the Chipman drain. So it's going to be an added step to pin down who's responsible for what as far as cost. But I'll get with you two this week to pin you down and see if you're interested in that meeting. Lastly, the water service line replacement project was on hold. It usually is through the coldest winter months just because the ground's frozen. So the county took a break from January till about mid-February on service changes. We've only been doing them on emergency basis, but I think we may have gotten lucky that there were none of those. But they'll be starting back up in March to to be replacing them full-time, working our way down the list. I think Ryan said we have 120,000 left in that replacement program. That's it.
Councilwoman, I got a question.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could explain what the quiet title is. I'm not familiar with that term.
So oftentimes because recorded documents that reflect who has a legal interest in the property, I mean, they could date back years. And like in the case of the library, we're going back to 1913-ish.
Right.
And so what a quiet title action does, more or less, we go to the courthouse, circuit court, and we say, Judge, look, we've been in control of this property for the last 100 years or so. There's a chance at a reverter because it may not be used as a library, so it may go back to the original family. However, we're unable to find these individuals, or we're not sure who actually has a vested interest in this library through this document, which is over 100 years old. And we ask the court for permission to, and the court would give us different options. They could say, well, run it in the local newspaper or find different ways to make sure that the world's on notice, effectively, that there's going to be this changeover or an issue at hand. And if that, you know, the court will set up the duration and time of how long we got to wait to try and find somebody of interest. That time comes and goes. If no one comes up, no one presents a legal argument, the court will then at that time say, all right, fine, we've done our due diligence. No one's come forward. The property is owned outright by the city of Owosso from this point going forward. The reverter is over.
Okay.
Or if somebody comes in and says, Judge, I am an heir and this is how my interest is vested, the court will then decide whether or not it's applicable given the facts as we know them today. So that's what quiet title just says, that there's no other interests involved in this property as of now.
Okay, so. Thank you. And then to tag on to the library topic, I was just curious about the stakeholder committee and what that's going to look like, and was that put out to the public at all? Because I know this is a really emotional issue for a large segment of the community that's spent their entire lives going to that library, and they're very interested in what's going to happen with the building.
You want me to answer that today?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, basically, being proactive, I personally got with the Cook Foundation, City Manager, SEDP, Justin, to discuss this. The first thing is we wanted to put a committee together if necessary. It's one we got, we came up with people we thought that would be good people when it came to repurposing a building like this. It's going to be a committee, a temporary committee, when it is activated. It's going to be totally open to the public, 100%, all the meetings. So we get everybody's input from the public, and then we go from there. They can, and the committee's main purpose is saving the library, repurposing the library, simply put. So we contacted the seven people. They all stepped up. We have an architect involved, is one of them. That's local. They're all local Owosso people that live here. And there's no secret of the people that that's on it. I don't have any problem in mentioning those to a city manager at this point in time. Or should I keep that?
No, just like with any other committee, it's up to the mayor to make the appointments, and then council approves it. So in the near future, council will be approving
you'll
this committee.
The names.
And yeah, it's just following the rules of committee placement as they sit now. And so the mayor was just being proactive to find out who those stakeholders should be and reaching out to them.
Yeah, it was basically all of a sudden it's on the plate. It wasn't like, okay, take 2-3 months to get this put together. Let's get this together in a week, per se. That's how important the library is. And so we did put the seven people together. They did agree to it. Again, Owosso people. Again, it has to be approved by city council to take effect, as the city manager said. We are not activating it right now. I put out a email to the people involved. I personally don't have any issue, and I believe I should put that same email, if that's okay with you, City Manager, if you agree with that, to all the City Council.
Yeah, I thought you had.
So you know what's going on from day one on who's on the board. So I'll get that out to all of you tonight, what I sent out today. But it will be a temporary committee for the library, and it'll be for the repurposing. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Next question was about 229 South Cedar. Do we have a timeline on that at all?
No.
When the road will be open again?
No. Well, the road will be open once the demolition is completed.
Right.
But I do not have a date from the SVP or Land Bank on that yet.
Okay.
I know that their grant was approved.
Okay. So it's progressing.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then I know you mentioned the funding gap for 117 West Exchange that we're going to be talking about that in the future. But is it, can the owner cover that, the owner of the building?
Well, the step, there's going to be an extra step after. If council approves covering the funding gap, then we'll either special assess the owner, the property. Hopefully the owner pays that back. There was another. My plan was just to follow the same procedure we did for the Elm Street property. So it was a special assessment and something else. We layered them both.
Yeah.
But I know that this is held by an LLC, so there's no guarantee that the owner's going to pay it.
Okay. Are we?
It's all we can do.
We're going to have to make a call on that before the demolition happens, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Emily Doerr with State Land Bank has said they're going to need this in order for us to proceed.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Any questions to the City Manager? Seeing none. That brings us to our next meeting, which will be Monday, March the 16th, 2026. With that, I'd be looking for a motion to adjourn.
Support.
Can't do anything.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. We are adjourned.